are listening to the ministry of Pastors Brad and Blonnie Smith, lead pastors of Woodward First Assembly, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. You're about to experience a life-changing word from God. Open your hearts and receive this dynamic teaching. Pastor Brad Smith is honored that you have taken the time to partner with this podcast today. Let's go live right now into the sanctuary and hear this powerful word from Pastor Brad Smith.
On your feet with me, Jonah chapter 3, and we're going to look at a couple verses right here. We're going to go to the end, and we're going to rewind. Jonah chapter 3, verse number 1, reads like this. Says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I will tell you. And so Jonah arose and went out to Nineveh, and according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that you would help us to receive from your word the revelation that you've given to us. And Father, we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. This morning, we're going to finish our series today entitled When Giants Fall. And next week, we're going to have a resurrection message. And then after that week, should the Lord continue to speak in this direction, we're going to start a series entitled Killing Sacred Cows. This is going to be really interesting month throughout the month of April. And I think that you will receive a lot of great things from that. But this morning, we're going to continue on this path and see what God would say to us. How many of you can sense the change in the air, in the weather? Let me just say that right there. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that spring is coming. How many of you looking forward to some vacation in the summertime? Kids, how many of you ready to get out of school? Amen. You kind of been out of school off and on all year anyway. It's been kind of weird. But anyway, looking forward to summertime and all those good things that are happening. And so we're excited about that as things begin to heat up a little bit and we begin to get back into normalcy a little bit with life. But as I begin to prepare this message over the last week and a half and really just begin to let it stir in my heart, and this series really in general, I just begin to think about giants in the Bible who God has used, people whom God has done miracles through, people whom God has put his handprint upon, his fingerprints, and he's blessed their lives. And we've chosen to look in this series at some of their downfalls. There are people who may say, why would you choose to look at the negative of somebody's life? Well, I believe the scripture teaches us very plainly that the things that are contained within the Bible are written for our example. And I believe that God doesn't just show us the good things about life, but he shows us also the challenges sometimes of life. And I believe as we look at people like David, and as we look at Peter, as we look at the other ones that we've looked at throughout the week, David and now Jonah, we're going to understand that God does indeed use broken vessels. Somebody say broken vessels. You know, the truth is God doesn't use perfect people. When you look in the pages of the Bible, you find broken people from Genesis to Revelation. You see men and women who woke up the same way you wake up every single morning, get dressed the same way that you get dressed. But the only thing that was different between their lives and our lives is the specific call that God has upon their life. And I believe, as I've said moments ago and time again, that I believe that God has called all of us to do something. I don't believe there's a single solitary person in this room whom God has called to do nothing. In fact, I will say it like this. I don't believe there's a person present today, number one, who God doesn't love, who Jesus didn't die for, number three, and whom God has not given a purpose for your life. Listen to me, if you're breathing today, if you are inhaling and exhaling the air that God has given us as a gift, then you, my friends, are here for a reason. God has a plan for your life. He hasn't brought you this far to leave you. He hasn't brought you this far to forsake you, but he has a plan for your life. But not just does God have a plan for your life, what we need to realize is that just as true as God has a plan for your life, the enemy of your soul has a plan for your life. And every blood-bought, born-again Christian has a bullseye on their back where the enemy, our adversary, seeks to try to wreak havoc upon our lives. Now, the good news is that as it relates to eternity, Christ is already victorious. But the enemy, though, tries to get in the details and the in-betweens. And as we've seen throughout the last couple of weeks, we've seen that God used people greatly, but yet they succumb to pressure in certain areas of their life. And we're going to look at that in greater detail. But as I begin to look at this, and I begin to see all of the different people whom God has used, what struck me is this. I can't relate personally to the moral failure of Samson. Nor can I relate to the adulterous affair leading to murder saga of David. I can't even relate to the denial of Christ, not once, not twice, but three times by Peter. But if there's anybody in the Bible that I identify with, is Jonah. Many of you have heard my testimony before that, I was called by God to preach at age 14, baptized in the Holy Spirit at age 13, and God's hand was upon my life. At age 14, I had already preached my first sermon. I had already read the Bible all the way through. I was carrying my Bible to school. And I used every opportunity to share the gospel. Matter of fact, I'm not really a Halloween celebrator, but I remember whenever they had Halloween day at school when I was 14 and they let us dress up in our costumes, I dressed up as a preacher. I took my Bible and I preached to my classmates, and it was a wonderful thing. I was known as the kid who went to that church. So you have to understand, we lived in a small town. There wasn't even an Assembly of God church or a full gospel church at all at that fact in my town at all. We had to drive to the next town over. And it was a little bitty small country church, and we were known as the people who spoke in tongues. And all of my classmates, they wanted to ask questions about it. They wanted to scoff about it. Some of them said, let me hear you. Do it. Can you do it? You know, all types of things that they would deal with. But people knew that I was a Christian. They knew that I was on fire for God. And they knew that I was serving Him. Well, somewhere along the age of 16, life began to happen. I don't want to get on to all of those details. You've probably heard this story before. But basically, I ran from God. And for 2 years of my life, I chose to run in the opposite direction. Now, you have to understand, this wasn't a running from a call where, you know, the preacher preached and I just felt like I was called. No. I had a dream, honey, when I was 14 years old of people burning in a literal place called hell. I woke up and I heard the voice of God call me to preach the gospel. And that never left me. I still think about it every single solitary day. It's what drives me to do what I do and to be as passionate about the lost as I am. But you know, even after all of that, how many of you know man still has free will? And even though that God has done something, God has said something, we still can choose to run in the opposite direction. And I remember running fast and far as I could in the opposite direction, throwing aside everything I knew, everything I had been taught, all of my convictions, all of those things, and saying, you know what, God, I don't want anything to do with the call of God. I don't want anything to do with preaching. I'm going to do my own thing. Even enrolled in college, got married when it was going into the medical field, until one day I was swallowed up by a big fish. In the month of, I will, amen. Graduated high school in May of 2001, got married in July of 2001, and shortly after I graduated in the month of May, I took about a half a bottle of some stimulants that threw my heart into a very weird state. I was working the graveyard shift and trying to work all night and stay up all day, Anyway, what happened was is that I got thrown into a series of severe anxiety and panic attacks, where I could not breathe. I constantly felt like something was sitting upon my chest. And it's like, God, I don't know what is wrong with me. And I went from doctor to doctor to doctor, about seven of them, I think it was, to be precise. And they changed medication, and they did this, and they did that, and they could not find out what was going on with me. I would lay down and the stomach acid would literally run up to my esophagus. Friend, I don't mean to be gross or anything like that this morning, but I would dry heave 7 to 8 times a day. Lost weight down to about 153 pounds and all of the complexion and color out of my skin. I literally thought that I was going to die. It was a terrible, terrible time in my life. I didn't know that what was happening to me was that God was trying to get my attention. Fast forward in September of 2001, the great day of the Twin Tower attack. My wife and I had just been married about 5 months, and we were in our little trailer house where we lived, and saw that on the television. To make a long story short, I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ that day. I led my new wife, who was not saved, not come from a Christian home, to the Lord in prayer, led her to Christ, gave our life to Jesus, and from that day forward, I was never sick again. You need to hear that. From that moment forward, I was never sick again. The Lord showed me how reckless His love is towards not only us, but towards the lost. Because God didn't never stop. He never stopped in that moment. He never stopped pursuing me. He never stopped pursuing me. See, here's what the Bible says, and somebody needs to hear this morning. The Scripture says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. In other words, what that means is you may die and never fulfill the call of God upon your life, but He will never retract that thing. He'll never revoke it. If God called you, He has called you. It's our choice, though, to be obedient. And the sin that Jonah walked in this season of his life was the sin of disobedience. Now, let's get back to our text for a moment and let's see this. This is amazing as we begin to look at this. Now, we started in Jonah chapter 3, but I want to back up to Jonah chapter 1. Can you go there with me? Jonah chapter 1. Matter of fact, Jonah is such an interesting book. You can preach the entire book of Jonah on Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. This is why you need to learn how to study words. Notice this. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And when he went down to Joppa, he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, down away from the presence of the Lord." Go back to verse 1. Notice it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai." Now, we have to ask ourselves, why did the word of the Lord come to Jonah? Anybody know why? Because he was a prophet. And that's what prophets do. Prophets hear a word from the Lord and they speak what God says. That's why a difference between a true prophet and a false prophet is if the prophet speaks that God has said something and it doesn't come to pass, the Bible says that the Lord did not speak those things. So Jonah heard the word of the Lord. His job was to proclaim that to the people. Now, here's what the Bible says. "Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah." Everybody say Jonah. "The son of Amittai." Now, interesting enough, names in the Hebrew mean something. And the word Amittai, it literally means truth. Truth. So Jonah was the son of truth, who was a prophet. Now listen, Jonah's name means dove. And whenever you do some research on doves, what you find is that doves are very flighty birds. That's why, even though the Holy Spirit is not a dove, the Bible said the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus as a dove. A dove speaks of purity, and a dove also speaks of the flightiness of its nature, which, by the way, is why Paul said, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." Because, listen, that dove can lift. So Jonah, son of truth, who's flighty as a dove, receives a word from the Lord. He says, I want you to go down to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to that great city, because their wickedness, Jonah, has come up before me. And I want you to preach to them the message that I give you. Cry out against their wickedness that has come up before me. Verse number 3 says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, we're going to have to see some things here in just a moment, but Jonah got himself into a conundrum, if you will. Now, I want to get into some background of this passage, because there was something about Jonah's call that he did not want to fulfill. He did not want to go to Nineveh to preach to these people. Why? Because Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was the number one top dog enemy of God at that time. And these people were not good people. These people were horrible people. Here's what they did. The Assyrians, when they would capture their enemies, one form of torture is they would skin them alive. Another thing that they would do is, and I hate to be graphic, this is why Jonah didn't want to go preach to them. Jonah understood the nature of the Assyrians. They would capture their enemies and bury them alive in sand, then cut off their heads and stack them in a pyramid as a memorial to the next enemy that tried to come and get them. And Jonah's like, hold up, wait a minute. I don't want to go down there, God, because quite frankly, I don't like them. I don't like what they've done. I don't like how they've hurt people. And I just don't want to go preach, because Jonah understood the compassion of God. And Jonah knew that if he preached and they repented, God would save them. And listen, before you start getting judgmental at Jonah this morning, you and I are a lot like Jonah. Because there are people that we have deemed that are not worthy of the grace of God. Now, don't say that, Pastor. There's not, no. Listen, don't look at me in that religious tone of voice. How many times have you watched a documentary on Lifetime or some 2020 program about a serial killer or a child rapist or something, and you say, I hope they get what they deserve. I hope that they, what? That's no different than what Jonah did. Because while you and I may think that they deserved a devil's hell, there is a God in heaven whom the Scripture says, I have no pleasure in the death and destruction of the wicked. That God doesn't take pleasure when anybody perishes. And His mercy is so steadfast towards us that He told Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go and preach to these people, because before I judge them, I'm going to give them an opportunity. And Jonah said, no, thank you, God. So we have to look this morning at the route, number one, that Jonah enacted. You know, when God speaks to us, we have a choice. We can either obey or we can disobey. Amen? But what did Jonah do? Jonah enacted a route of disobedience. Notice now in verse number 3, it says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, he went down into it, and he went to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. We have to understand this route that Jonah enacted. He enacted a route of disobedience. Everybody say disobedience. Now you understand that he left where he was, and he fled down to Joppa to get on a boat to go to Tarshish. Now, here's the interesting thing. God told Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was 500 miles away from where he was supposed to go. But no, Jonah said, I don't think that's a good idea, God. So Jonah left, and what did he do? He went down and found a boat, paid a fare, got on it, and fled to the opposite way to Tarshish, which was 2,500 miles away. To do what God had told him to do would be 500 miles. But to disobey God would be 2,500 miles. You know, the truth is, sometimes we have to work harder to disobey God than it is to obey God. Sometimes it's easier just to say, you know what, God, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's your call upon my life. Let's have it. Let's go for it. But Jonah didn't do that. He enacted a route of disobedience. And so he led, and he went down to this place, and he jumped on the first ship he could find. And you know what it says? It says, so he paid the fare, verse number 3, and he went down into it to go into Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Notice he left where he was, found a boat. He went in the opposite direction, and the Bible says he paid the fare. You know, every time you disobey God, it's going to cost you something. Not only does it say he paid the fare, it says he went down into the boat. I would suppose that whenever you disobey God, not only is it going to cost you something, but it's going to make you go down. And Jonah went away from the presence of the Lord, so he thought. I guess Jonah didn't know the words of King David when he penned these words. He said, where can I go to escape from your presence? David penned the words in Psalms. He says, the voice of the Lord is over the Lebanons. The voice of the Lord is over the oak trees. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. And when Jonah got in that boat, I can imagine that day he said, hey guys, how's it going? Where are you headed, bud? Far that way as we go. Because like the 80s song, Meatloaf, I will do anything for love, but I won't do that. So I'm leaving on a jet train. And away from the presence of the Lord he went. And the Bible says that as Jonah was out on the water, the storms began to blow. And as Jonah was there and the men on the boat were doing their thing, the Bible says that as Jonah was down the bow of the boat asleep, the waves would come and crash and beat. And there was a vehement, violent storm, one that was very much unlike anything that they had ever experienced before. And what we have to understand is that while Jonah's on this boat, they are going into this place to where all of this turmoil is happening, and to the point of the men say, listen, we didn't have all this trouble till Jonah showed up. And they begin to ask questions. Who is he? Who are you? Who is the God that you serve? What have you done? And Jonah just outs himself. He says, guys, let me tell you, all of this is my problem. I'm going to tell you how to answer your problem right now. You just pick me up. Might take a few of you to get me, but pick me up and throw me over because I am the problem. So the Bible says that the men on that boat got Jonah up and they threw him off. And the Bible says that God prepared a big fish to swallow up Jonah. And we're not going to go there just yet. I want to talk a moment about what it means to be hooked up with people you're not supposed to be hooked up with. You see, I sense there may be some people in this room today that you have turmoil in your life. You've got unexplained storms, unexplained things that are going on around you. You can't figure it out. You say, God, I haven't done anything wrong. I don't have any sin in my life that I know of. God, I don't know what is wrong. You know, maybe there is nothing wrong. Maybe, just maybe, you've got a Jonah in your cell phone. Maybe you've got a Jonah on your Facebook page. Maybe you got a Jonah in your life that you need to throw capsize. Come on, somebody, that you need to get rid of. Maybe there's something in your life that you're not supposed to be connected to. Oh, y'all ain't gonna say amen right there. I'm gonna preach a little bit harder. I'm feeling it today. You see, whenever you allow yourself to get hooked up with things that God didn't tell you to get hooked up with, it'll bring some confusion to your life. So we see now that Jonah enacted a route of disobedience, landing himself on a boat he shouldn't have been on, with people he shouldn't have been hooked up with. Then we find that God instructs a giant whale. We say it's a whale. The Bible, all translations literally in the Hebrew say fish. We don't know what it was. But God instructed a fish to come and swallow up Jonah. Now, here's what we see. The first thing we saw was the rowdy enacted disobedience. Everybody say disobedience. The second thing we see is the rehab that he endured. Because anytime you disobey God, I'll tell you, he doesn't let us go that easy. Jonah was in the belly of the fish, and it was a place of disobedience. It was a place of being separated, not necessarily from God, but from his perfect plan, from his perfect will for his life. Jonah, it was a miracle in and of itself that the fish did not bleach out his skin. Maybe it did, I don't know, digest him partially. I'm sure that was a very miraculous thing for God to keep him inside the belly of this fish. But it was a holding place. It was just like the moment when the Gospel of Luke records that the prodigal son came to his senses. In the pig pen, eating slop, separated from the joys and pleasures of his father's house, Jonah has run from God, walked away from his calling, and now is 3 days in the belly of a whale. Can you imagine the conversation that God and Jonah must have had with each other? Can you imagine the wrestling match as they went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth between it? Who knows what all was said, but here's what we do know. That somewhere along on that third day, the scripture records in Jonah chapter number 2 that it says, from the belly of hell, Sheol, the grave, from the belly of hell I cried unto the Lord. That on the third day of Jonah's misery, he cried out to God and God heard him. You know what I believe? I don't have chapter and verse for this, but I believe in the character and nature of God. I believe Jonah could have been done on day one had he wised up a little bit and listened to God. But for whatever reason, it took him 3 days. 3 days of misery, 3 days of pain, 3 days of being separated from his purpose and from his calling. Can I tell you something this morning? I'm going to tell you something as plain as I can tell you today. There's no place more miserable than outside of the will of God. I'd rather be in the will of God in the middle of a desert than out of the will of God in Honolulu, Hawaii. Jonah found himself faced with him, God's call, his plan. But he cried out. Jonah chapter 3. Is one of the most beautiful, redemptive scriptures of the Old Testament. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Because somewhere on day 3, when Jonah said, okay, God, he spit him out on dry ground. Here the call of God came back to Jonah's life. You know, I've often asked myself, God, why did you wrestle with Jonah that way? Why did you wrestle with me that way? God, why did you not call somebody else? Why didn't you just say next on the list? Why didn't you just move on? And you know, I feel like the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and he said this. He said, it's because nobody can do what I've called you to do. That's why your life matters. That's why you're so important. That's why the enemy fights you so hard. Because God knows that he has destiny attached to your existence. And the enemy of our lives doesn't like that. But as Jonah lay there dripping from the acidic juices of a fish's belly, probably smelling half like death, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to him a second time, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, Jonah, the great city, and preach to it the message." So Jonah arose and he went up to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord, because now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and then he cried out and he said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." See, we see the rehab that Jonah endured, but number three, we want to look at the result that he experienced. You see, Jonah fell in this sense of he ran from God's call. But yet in God's mercy, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. Friends, and I can relate to that, because that's exactly what happened to me. I remember being in a bar, backslidden, and the Lord speaking to me, saying, "What are you doing in here? What are you doing? Why are you in here? Why are you doing this?" And I would just try to push him off and say, "Okay, God, whatever, whatever." And finally, he knows how to get our attention. I'll tell you, there's not a bar, there's not a house of ill repute, there's not any place the Lord won't come in to find somebody who belongs to him. He is willing to leave heaven and get down into the very dirt in the form of Jesus Christ at a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. He was willing to leave all of the riches of eternity and come down through the brute birth canal of the Virgin Mary and live a sinless life to get dirty and nasty with humanity just like us. Glory be to God. So Jonah shows up this time. Now, he still didn't want to go, and I can prove that later. But Jonah was obedient. He went. He gets in the city, and he starts preaching. In 40 days, God's going to judge this city. 40 days. Y'all better hear me. God's going to judge this city. The king of Assyria heard about it. He issued a decree to Nineveh and called the people on a fast. This king got so serious, he said, "Here's how we're going to fast. I don't even want your animals to eat. We're all fasting here." You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that they heeded the preaching of Jonah, and that city was restored, forgiven, and revived. The prayers of those people were heard as they cried out to God for forgiveness. Now we have a conundrum here. We've got two-sided coin that we have to look at. We've got Jonah, a disobedient prophet, who feels justified in his actions for going, or refusing to go rather, to preach to these people who he says are extremely wicked people, and they were. The other thing is we have these people who, by all intents and purposes, are horrible people. But yet God said, "Jonah, I don't want to destroy them. I want to give them a chance." You see, there are a lot of people who think that the God of the Old Testament was super judgmental. And yes, we see a different side of God in the Old Testament. But you can see mercy all throughout the Old Testament. I mean, God gave them 40 days. How many years did we read about here a while back? In our Wednesday night series, how many years did Noah build the ark? We see mercy extended, where God's judgment wasn't always instantaneous. He oftentimes gave people ample space to repent. So what do we see when we look at this? The first thing I want you to take away as we leave, you're ready to leave this place today, is this. Number one, if God's called you to do something, listen, that call is solidified upon your life. You may feel like Jonah right now. You may feel like you're running. You may say, God, I don't want anything to do with that. And you may be like Jonah and you've tried to run in the opposite direction from the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something. God will allow you to be miserable as long as you want to be. But the moment you turn back to Him and say, yes, Lord, He can restore. And I'm sure the people of Nineveh are grateful that Jonah was restored. Then the second thing I want to say with you is this. If we learn anything about the story of Jonah's disobedience, it's this. Is that there are no people who are too far gone that God cannot reach.
We are so honored that you have taken the time to partner with this podcast today. This podcast is in no way intended to replace the local church in your life. Instead, its purpose is to enhance and encourage your faith. If you're in the Woodward, Oklahoma area, join us for one of our exciting worship experiences. We are located at 3906 Lakeview Drive in Woodward, Oklahoma. Our Sunday worship begins at 10:30 a.m. and our Wednesday night Bible study begins at 7 p.m. Once again, thanks for connecting with us today and be blessed.